So when we chant the holy name, sometimes we are uttering the holy names, but the desires are just going up and up and up. And so we are not even saying yes to Krishna at that time. Yes, chanting is definitely a challenging process. And at one level, just the act of chanting involves saying yes to Krishna, irrespective of whether we are putting our heart into it. At a verbal level, at least we are saying yes to Krishna. Now, we have to find ourselves how we can increase that yes to Krishna in our chanting. So, if we find that keeping a picture of our initiation ceremony, or keeping a picture of our favorite deities, or maybe just writing down the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, or having written Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in front of us, whether having some dhun next to us, Hare Krishna dhun or Hare Krishna japa of Srila Prabhupada next to us, what is the way in which we can try to increase our focus on Krishna? And that helps a lot, because just the sound, it is difficult to absorb. But if you add some, bhakti is a process of sensory spirituality. It is not just conceptualized spirituality. You use the senses in the process of spirituality. That's why we don't just chant in the mind, we chant aloud. We hear, so tongue and ears are involved. We also use the beadbags. The fingers are also involved. So like that, we can try to involve more and more of our senses in the process of chanting, in the process of trying to connect them with Krishna. And along with that, if the mind is wandering too much, certain desires are going up, at that time, they may just go. But afterwards, if we see, the desires, they will go away entirely by purification. But the desires can be curbed by intelligence. So curbed by intelligence means that although I may feel like doing something, but if my intelligence is sharp, I know I will not do it. So if we can observe the pattern of our desires, what kind of desires come while chanting? And then we just use our intelligence, use our scriptural knowledge to write down certain reasons why we should not indulge in those desires, or why we should not worry about those desires, at least at that time. Later on, other times it's different. And keep that written thing down somewhere nearby. And the mind wanders too much, we complete around. Just read out some shloka from the Bhagavatam, read out some verse from the Bhagavad Gita, read out its translation, read out some the rewritten in such a way that it appeals to our mind. And then at that time, we basically use our intelligence. The intelligence is inside us, but when the desires become so strong, all the memory that is there, which is, see, memory is the basis of intelligence. If there is, Krishna says, Smriti Brahmashar Buddhi Nash. When memory is lost, intelligence is lost. So, what we need to activate our intelligence is our memory. And here, memory doesn't necessarily mean simply remembering Krishna. If we also remember the points of why we should remember Krishna, the points about why we should not indulge in other things, then that also empowers our intelligence. And that way, if the mind, if we observe the patterns, see, it's like it's a war. And in a war, if we find this is how the way the enemy is attacking, repeatedly this is how the enemy is attacking, then we need to prepare customized defenses, prepare proper weapons by which we can resist that enemy. So there are chanting of the holy name is a general weapon. But if we have find specific kinds of attacks coming upon us, we can also make customized specific weapons to deal with those attacks. And that way, we can counter those mind's desires which they go away at that time. And lastly, this is sometimes the desires are just going too much into many different directions. Just changing one's physical stimulus, because our consciousness is largely external. So if I'm sitting and chanting and I find my mind getting very agitated, just stand up or walk and chant. So changing our physical posture basically changes our thought pattern, at least for that moment. So we can break by having a physical change in our situation. Sometimes we just sit at one place and chant, and then the mind is wandering everywhere. We just do some physical activity, walk, or just move around. Then the physical alteration, at that time, it can get our consciousness out of the mind and its wandering and bring it back into the external reality, which we are. And from that external reality, we can redirect it towards the spiritual reality. They're just some thoughts. Each of us will have to find out the best way that works for us. And what will work for different devotees may be different in different situations. Because our mind always comes up with different strategies to distract us. But by observing our mind and observing how we can deal with it, what works for us, what doesn't work for us. And accordingly, we can have our own arsenal of weapons with which we deal with the mind. Does it answer your question? Okay, do we have time? Yes, please. One last question.
Yes, probably I have two statements and then my question is there. First statement is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam says that you should earn only how much you need, where you need. Second, that even if you learn and you wake up in life, you have to try and you fail and you get some hit here and there without mistake. The question is, we are talking about desires. Now desires keep on coming. And isn't it we should try to stop that source from where the desire comes? And the desires are coming basically because of your mind. Now if somehow we develop these this taste, we have no taste for the material thing which we are doing, like in eating, greed for money, if we develop some no taste for them, then that the desire will come down. And if there are less desire and you are practicing bare minimum requirement for your life, and already you are in Krishna consciousness, your power will not be solved to a greater extent.
Yes.
Because the mind will not be stretched and the desires are